Let's talk to a gentleman about Lyme disease, shall we, Brian?
Absolutely.
We've been talking about Lyme disease on this program, I'm going to say 15 years now.
A long time.
We've talked about every single aspect of the thing called Lyme disease, how we get it, what you can do when you get it, etc. This is a whole other area of Lyme disease that we were not really necessarily aware of. For those of you who might not know what we're talking about, Lyme disease is something that you can pick up from the bite of a tick. They're commonly called deer ticks or black-legged ticks, and they carry the bacterium that spreads this disease. Once you get it, it's very difficult to diagnose. It's very difficult to detect in most cases, and most cases, by the time you know you have it, it's almost too late. And the road back to recovery is a long, difficult one, to say the least. Joining us now is Dr. Ying Zhang. He is a medically trained researcher and a professor in the Department of Molecular Microbiology. How's that? And immunology at St. John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And he's going to help shed a little more light on post-Lyme disease syndrome. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. You know, we've been talking about Lyme disease, it seems, forever now, but it's kind of finally, it's hit sort of mainstream media. The mainstream media is starting to actually admit that it's even happening out there. And that's really refreshing for people who have been following it for the number of years that we have. Are you finding the same thing?
Well, yes, of course. Lyme disease in the U.S. has always been a problem ever since it's discovered in the 70s. As you know, in the U.S., we have more than 300,000 cases a year. And the disease is actually spreading to different states. And now it's being increasingly reported in Canada as well.
Yes. I went on the 16 day or whatever number of days treatment. I got bit by a tick last year, Dr. Zhang, and I went on the antibiotics that were prescribed for the treatment, and everything worked out fine for me. But I hear that there can be some problems with folks not bouncing back the way they would like to after they've taken the antibiotic treatment.
Yes, absolutely. So this is a complex disease. There's this acute form of the disease that can be cured by the current standard treatment with 2 to 4 week doxycycline or amoxicillin. But there is some portion of patients that do not recover and continue to suffer from fatigue, pain, and brain fog, for example. And then these symptoms can last a long time, longer than 6 months, and even longer. So this is called a post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome, PTLDS. So the percentages of such patients can vary depending on when you look at the disease and depending on the studies as well, depending on the stage of the disease. If it's discovered relatively late, the percentage that do not quite recover is higher versus those that are catched earlier.
Okay. Can you, Dr. Zhang, can you stay on the line with us for a couple more minutes? I've got to take a quick break, but there's so many more questions like to ask you. More journal after this on Jadurga Way.
Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com.
Welcome back to the program. Outdoor journalist, Sportsnet 590 The Phantom, Angelo Viola, along with Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, and Jessica Ellis on the board, as per usual, guiding you through the outdoors this wonderful weekend. On the line with us is Dr. Ying Zhang, MD, professor with Department of Molecular Biology and Immunology at John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore, Maryland. He's talking to us about post-Lyme disease syndrome. I mean, if it wasn't bad enough to have Lyme disease or to think you got Lyme disease, now we need to worry about post-Lyme disease. Yeah. But I know exactly what he's talking about. There are a lot of difficulties. And we know some famous people who have had Lyme disease who went through this whole process as well. So not something that you can put on the back burner for sure. So tell us a little bit about the research, Doctor. How long, first of all, have you been working on this?
Oh, yeah, we've been working on Lyme disease for about 10 years.
Okay.
When I got a call from the Lyme Disease Foundation asking for help to address the persistent form of the disease.
Okay. Now, I see here that you may be recommending, or at least there is some suggestion that a change to the current protocol for treatment might be in order?
Well, this is a little early right now, because what we're doing is really the in vitro work as well as animal testing. And the next step is to do human clinical trials. But based on the results we have so far in vitro as well as in animal model testing, we do find some drug combinations to be more effective than the current Lyme antibiotic treatment for this persistent form of Lyme disease. So we're interested to move on to do clinical trials.
One of the side effects from the current treatment, which I was on in June of this year, and I was warned about it, by the way, but, you know, typical
yeah,
fisherman.
So what did you take? I'm just curious.
Well, I had 16 different pills. They were apparently all antibiotics. Wow. And I was warned by the pharmacist that filled the prescription out. She said to me, now, we recommend that you don't go outside during this treatment.
I said,
I can't. I work in the outdoors. I have to be outside. She said, well, I don't know. It really affects your immune system for UV and all that stuff. She says, really don't recommend you going outside. And I'll be honest with you, doctor, I didn't take her very seriously. And immediately at the end of the first week of the treatment, I flew into the wilderness, into northern Ontario, and spent the next 7 days exposed to incredible sun on a body of water. And it literally fried me. It literally
wow.
fried me. I mean, I was in such pain, and it took forever for me to recover from that. Never mind the Lyme disease threat. But
So I
don't know, you know.
Yeah. Crazy. So how are you doing now? You're all fine?
I'm good.
After the treatment?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Here.
Yeah, everything is fantastic. The biggest fear that we've got as outdoors people is, you know, the lack of information that's available, the lack of knowledge by our medical community, because a lot of them aren't really up to speed on what the protocols are and what they should be doing. And that's worrisome, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that go untreated for months. And then all of a sudden, it becomes an issue. For example, I found out that, you know, that first 24 hours is critical, and then the next 36 hours, and then the next 48. Like, it seems like this disease is so fast that we've only got a matter of hours before we can start treating it.
Well, yeah. So the complexity of the disease is that not all patients know they have a rash. They
right.
have a tick bite. And then, you know, by the time sometimes they do see that, but then even though they are treated, they don't get better. So there are those that they don't see a rash, and then, you know, diagnosed late, months or even years later, then suffer from the persistent form of the disease. That's why the disease, actually the persistent form of the disease, we divided into two types, called type 1 and type 2. In
right.
our most recent study, I don't know if you read the study, it was published in Discovery Medicine earlier this year, where we propose we show that, in fact, the Borrelia bacteria is very complex. It can develop different forms, the persister form, which is the dormant form that is not killed by the current Lyme antibiotic. And wow. Then we found a new alternative FDA-approved agents that can kill such form. And we show that in a drug combination setting, including the persister drug and also the current Lyme antibiotics, we are able to completely eradicate the Borrelia bacteria in the mouse model, whereas the current Lyme antibiotics are not able to do so. So in this study, we show that, in fact, we propose two types of a persistent Lyme disease. One is that it's introduced from the very beginning by the tick bite. So the tick carry the Borrelia bacteria. So depending on what kind of bacteria is inoculated into the patient, if it's really the biofilm form or the persister form that's being introduced into the patient, then even though you treat timely with a single antibiotic, you're not going to cure such patients, because it is well known the biofilm form, the dormant form, are not responsive to the current Lyme antibiotic treatment. The other persistent form of the disease is that what I mentioned earlier is that it's not diagnosed early or treated early, then later were discovered to have the disease, then they don't respond very well to the current antibiotic treatment.
So, you know, listening to that, it would not, and not understanding, you know, all of the medical difficulties in this, wouldn't it be easier if we started working on a vaccine as opposed to maybe, you know, a cure? I mean, that would make sense to me because,
there was a vaccine. This Osprey vaccine that was developed by the GSK, but then was discontinued because of this perception about the side effects. So it was sort of unfortunate. So there was this renewed interest to develop new vaccines, but it's really years away from being available. It's still in the works.
Wow. Because, I mean, it's getting to the point where, you know, it is starting to become a concern, just making that decision and choice to go out in the outdoors, you know, and that's really, we've been working so hard. Those of us in the outdoors community have been working so hard at getting people outside and enjoying green spaces and stuff. And now we're finding that we're fighting against this as well, as if there weren't enough reasons for people not to get out of their homes and, you know, not to go out and enjoy the wilderness. Now there's the perfect excuse, right? And I don't know, vaccine would be, I'm going to vote for a vaccine. How's that?
Yes, that's good. Yeah. But it's not going to be immediately available, though. So we, in the meantime, have to take precaution when you go out, right? That's the repellent, take repellent. One can use, as well as wear long sleeves or long pants. Yeah, just cover yourself well, and don't want this disease to, you know, will prevent people from enjoying the outdoors, right?
Exactly, and that's the concern that we have. For example, doctor, I hate saying this on an open mic, but I had 3 layers of clothing on. I had, and my outer shell was a completely impenetrable waterproof outer shell that covered me from head to toe.
Well, then you're all covered. You're good. You're protected.
I was protected, but they still got to me. That's the
really?
Whole point.
Well, yeah. That's all the interest. Did you ever see a rash? You know where?
No. We were able to remove the tick from us because the two of us got it. And so we carefully removed the tick. And
where did you get the bite?
So I got it. I got mine on my abdomen.
Okay.
And the other bite was on the inner thigh.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So right. So it that's why I say, I mean, covering, we all know to cover up now, but sometimes that doesn't even help. I'm assuming these things probably got we picked them up because we were walking through the bush, obviously, and they probably dropped down the back of the neck or something and worked their way down. I'm assuming that because they had no way of coming up through the bottom, that's for sure.
We just need to wear a hazmat suit when we're out.
Yeah, we're going to have to start wearing a hazmat suit or something. I don't know. Be great to take a pill, though, and say, boop, I'm covered, you know. But anyways, it's an ongoing war, as you know. You've been fighting it for a decade as well. So keep up the good work. How can people get more information, Dr. Zhang?
Well, yeah, so you can find information online as well as by looking at the YouTube. There are some conference presentations as well as online sources as well as publications.
Perfect. Listen, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And we'll check up on you and see how progress is coming along.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Ying Zhang, MD, he's a professor, Department of Molecular Biology and Immunology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, Baltimore, Maryland. Can you imagine his card?
Say that 10 times fast.
Holy mackerel.
Just glad there's smart people out there.
Isn't that nice to know? I think he was a little surprised when I told him how covered up I was when I got bit.
Yeah. Well, right? You had a sneak attack.
And we were both covered. And the reason being is it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
So it was raining and it was cold.
I think the big thing, of course, is if you're outdoors, to check yourself. And whenever I'm golfing and I go look for the ball, because mine is always off to the side.
You spend a lot of time in the thick stuff. I know.
I like to enjoy the course and then and come back over. And I'm checking my legs and stuff immediately.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. But, you know, not one that should keep people from going and enjoying the outdoors.
No.
Yeah. It's a small undertaking. It's not a big deal to check yourself when you come back in. And if you do that, chances are real good that and listen, it's very rare that this happens. I've been in the outdoors all of my life, and in a lot worse and thicker areas than I was when I got bit by this tick. And I've never had a tick on me before.
Well, it's gotten worse though over the years, though, right? Because where we were, the Longsu, it was bad this year apparently, and it's going to get even worse.
Yeah, it's one of the hot zones.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. There's a triangle between Longsu, Cornwall, and Ottawa apparently
the tick triangle.
Yeah.